All right, are we rolling, Leon? Good. Good. Welcome. It is our final night together. Sarah asked me if I was sad earlier. I was like, there is a twinge. There is a twinge of sadness. These are my people. This has been fun. I've really enjoyed this. So I think I said that last week, but thank you guys for doing this. Not for a while. We'll probably do it again at some point. Some other iterations of classes and things, but we'll take a time apart. But thank you guys. And Christina, if you want to talk about the potluck at the end, just remember to do that. But let's do our prayer together and then let's jump right in. Maybe my thing is not working. Ah, there we go. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated unto you, and then use us, we pray you, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we are going to dive right in tonight, and we're looking at the relationships box. And so I'm just going to talk about the boxes again for a second, because I realized some of the podcast people were like, what are boxes? And so I'm just saying this to remind you that the boxes are merely a means of laying this out. But as you're thinking about creating your own rule, don't feel like it has to look like this. But these are kind of the four primary categories that we've been working through each week. And so if you like the way that's laid out, you can lay it out that way. If you prefer something more linear, lay it out that way. But do hopefully spend some time in the coming weeks filling these out. And if you want to share them with me or with each other, that would be really cool to kind of see what kinds of rhythms you're thinking about. And maybe we can pray and encourage each other along the way. But we've looked at prayer, we've looked at work, we've looked at rest, and then tonight we're going to look at relationships. And so I'm excited to jump in. And I didn't put it on the slide, but I've been liking giving additional resources or suggestions. And so my book suggestion this week is a book by Christine Hoover, and it's called Messy, Beautiful Friendship. And then there's a whole like long subtitle, but the premise is it gives a really good theological as well as practical and biblical framework for friendships or relationships. And she just does a really, really good job. And so I highly recommend it. It's more contemporary. So she draws from like Bonhoeffer and other sources, but it's much more practical and to kind of the context of today. And I will say, for the gentleman in the room, that it's written from a woman's perspective, and so a lot of the way she talks about relationships are between women, and so some of those issues might not fully apply, but I would not let that discourage you from reading it. It is really, I think, important to hear the perspectives of women, particularly as it relates to theology in the church. And one of the things actually in my rule is to read two books a month and to make sure that at least one of them is by a woman. And that has been incredibly life-giving to me as I've considered more of the perspective of my sisters in the church. So in the theme of relationships and things like that, just something I would encourage you to check out. And you can find it on Amazon or ThriftBooks or wherever. But let's talk about relationships. Just like any other of the boxes, it's incredibly challenging to talk about anything in like 25 to 30 minutes. And so we won't hit everything, but we will hit some highlights. And the goal, as always, is to address, you know, what we believe to be true about the love of God and the way in which relationships coincide with that and build from there. So the anchoring question actually is a little bit different tonight. It's phrased a little bit different, but how do relationships impact what I believe to be true about God's love for me? And so as I was thinking about this and praying about this, you'll notice the wording difference, because I believe relationships have a different effect on us and shape us in a different way. So does prayer and work and rest shape us? Absolutely. Relationships, I think, shape us in a little bit of a different way, and I'll talk more about that. And I think that's why relationships are such a key theme in the New Testament. And so many of the letters in the Gospels themselves are spent really speaking into relationships. How are we going to do this life together? What does it look like for Christians to live together? How do we treat one another? And then how do we treat even non-Christians? And so There's not one anchoring scripture tonight, but there's 59. So I'm not going to give you all 59, but 59 times in the New Testament, and obviously depending on the translation, there's a group of phrases that are often referred to as the one another's. So 59 times in the New Testament, you have a statement like, be at peace with each other, wash one another's feet, love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, stop passing judgment on one another. So if 59 times writers in the New Testament emphasize to us this one another aspect, then clearly we have a key and a window into relationships and their ways and impacts on the way that we live out our lives. So there's a thread there because one another implies more than one person, right? Or a relationship. You can't one another with yourself. So this means that there is a communal aspect to the way that we're working out our faith and relationships together. So before we get into some of the really practical stuff, I want to address for a moment just three key things to consider about relationships. So three keys to consider. One is relationships are complicated, right? Nobody needed me to tell you that, but we should acknowledge that, that relationships are very complicated. They are messy and they are hard. And this can be in our family dynamics, our friend dynamics, the dynamics in our home, in our workplace, in our church. All of our relationships with all people are going to take some element of working out. And every single one of those relationships has complexities and is in some ways complicated. And if that has not been your experience with relationships, then I would love for you to share your tips afterwards. But I would say all of us could probably say our relationships are complicated, at least some of them, if not all of them. And so the one another's remind us that relationships are hard and complicated, but the one another's also remind us that relationships are critical. Relationships are critical. In the process of being formed to look more like Jesus, we need each other. We need each other for that process. My friend Wes gives this picture, and I borrow his illustration all the time, so you may have heard me say this, but he talks about how we are all puzzle pieces, and each of us reveals some of God's character, some of God's glory, and that without each other, then we're never going to see the picture fully. And so we need each other to begin to see more of who God is, more of what is true about God's love, more of God's glory being revealed, and that happens in and amongst each other. So to that I would say relationships are critical, right? They are critical to our formation. So in thinking about being anchored and rooted into the love of God, then we have the ability in relationship to be reminders to one another about the love of God so that we can see God more clearly and more fully. And so to that end, relationships are critical. Then the third dynamic at play here is that relationships are clarifying. Relationships are clarifying. And it's always great when the alliteration works out, so it helps you remember it. But relationships are clarifying. They have the ability, and it's not a unique ability, but it is an ability to clarify for us the love of God or distort it. So relationships can either clarify God's love for us or they can distort it. And that may have happened to you. Again, I believe that's why the one another's are such a major emphasis in the New Testament. I believe what those writers are trying to encourage us in saying is like, this is going to affect the way people see God. The way we relate to one another will impact the way we see God, the way we feel God's love. And so whether relationships have been super easy for you or super complicated, each of those relationships, I would say, has clarified for you in some way a picture of who God is or caused distortion. And so as I've done each week, there's two things to address about our view of anything. And so one, a view of relationship could be, maybe this is how you came in to tonight, thinking my relationships have been a place of pain and frustration, and they have caused me to pause or question the love of God. That is real, okay? And that is okay, and that happens time and time again. You might be in a place where relationships are extremely hard, right? All of them or some of them. There were seasons in my life when it was extremely hard for me to even ever call God Father because of the relationship I had with my father, right? And the way the Bible uses family and imagery and friendship and relationship, if you have brokenness in those places on earth, it becomes very hard to understand the picture of heaven. And so if you are in that place, I just want to say that's okay, but that you don't have to stay there, right? You don't have to stay in a place where you're thinking, gosh, all my relationships look like this, then what could possibly be true about God's love for me? Others of us might say, my relationships are a place where I'm reminded of and become more aware of God's love for me. And that's kind of the hope, right? That's the hope, is to get more of our relationships to be in line with the truth that we can remind each other of God's love for us. And the reality of life is that it's probably both always, right? It's probably both at all times in your life, depending on the status of your relationships or who you're in relationship with. Some of us have relationships that are just very complicated. We have years and years of baggage. And other relationships we have are amazing reminders of God's love for us. There are people we can think of right now who always remind us of Jesus, the way they serve, the way they love, the way they care for us, the way they pray for us. And there's other people in our lives we can think of who always make us question whether this whole thing is real or true or not, right? And so that is okay. And so I just want to say, this is what this has to do with the rule of life. The rhythms and patterns that we establish in and around relationships can, as with anything else, root us into that unhealthy view of God, or they can root us into the truth of who God is and His love. And our ability to spot it, acknowledge it, and plan kind of around it, and say, I'm going to put rhythms and practices in my life to where I know the kinds of people I'm surrounding myself are pushing me towards this truth, and I'm going to maybe walk away from people who distort my image of God, right? And that's okay. But that's part of the discernment process in establishing these rhythms. And so we have to kind of do all of this work before we can even get into the practical. We have to realize the way that relationships impact our view of the way God loves us. And so let's define the box as we've done each night. So the relationship box would be a place where you would put relationship rhythms that allow a rootedness and connectedness to the love of God to flourish. So that's familiar to you. The new part here is through the strengthening of personal and interpersonal dynamics. So all of the practical that I'm going to talk about are ways to strengthen your personal, so your relationship with yourself, and your interpersonal, your relationship with other people, dynamics. Does that make sense? Everybody's tracking with me here? So as we get practical, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what's our relationship with ourself look like, and what are some rhythms we can put in place around that. And then what does our relationship with others look like, and what are some rhythms we can begin to consider and think about around that? So here are kind of three areas of where I want to look at rhythms tonight. So one, the first one is emotional health. So again, that's personal. So that's personal rhythms to work on your personal relationship inside of you. And then family and community, these are both interpersonal. So this is us with other people. And both of those things have to be prioritized in this relationship box. And that's where we got to find the balance and in discernment, because one impacts the other and vice versa. These two things go hand in hand. So as always, there's a slide for each one, so I'm going to keep moving. So emotional health, that's kind of a big one, and there are a lot of words, so they're there for you, but I'll also read them. But in terms of our personal health or our emotional health, I would present to you that this is one of the most overlooked aspects of relationships, right? A lot of times when we think about relationships, we simply think about our interactions with other people, and we're not considering the things going on inside of us that cause the way we respond to other people, right? And so the purpose in thinking about rhythms that focus on our personal relationship, our relationship with self and our emotions and our feelings, is to anchor us in to understanding just how we operate. How do I operate? The analogy or the picture I want to give you is I'll share and be vulnerable with you. We've been going through boxes and rooms in our house that we've just never gone through, right? So we've lived in our house almost 2 years, and we've got this sudden spurt of energy to get organized, and so we're going through boxes, right? And these boxes are in places of our house that no one would ever see, right? So we've tucked them away, and no one ever has to see or interact with them. And to give you that analogy for yourself, right, we all have those places, right? We have the, whether it's a closet or a room or a box, we have those inside of us where we kind of push things to the side and we're like, I'll deal with that later. It's not important right now, but I'm going to be presentable for other people, right? And so when I'm talking about emotional health, I'm talking about going through the boxes, right? And having help to do that. And that's okay. And I just want to normalize that, right? And say that it's okay to, with the help of other people, friends, peers, but also professionals, unpack those boxes and go through those areas and live in a home that is all in order, right? And it's not going to always be all in order. Things will get out of order, but take that time. And so the two things I've suggested here are specifically with the guidance of another individual that would help you go through those boxes. So one of them is like more on the kind of spiritual side. So like, how am I wrestling with my faith and calling and those kinds of things? And then one is probably on the more personal side. And so I'll talk about each of those. So spiritual direction. These are the words up here. Spiritual direction is help given by one Christian to another, which enables that person to pay attention to God's personal communication to him or her, to respond to this personally communicating God, to grow in intimacy with this God, and to live out the consequences of the relationship. And so there's the authors, and they wrote a book about the practice of spiritual direction. But this is, there are people who have gotten very specific training to sit with you. Other, you might have heard it called Holy Spirit listening or other things as well, but they will sit with you and just help you discern. Just ask you questions. Just listen and try to communicate with the Holy Spirit with you. And this can be a very, very helpful practice in discerning calling, discerning areas in your faith that you're wrestling with, and just discerning generally. And this can be something that you can do for a season or over a very long period of time, but can be very, very nourishing to your emotional health. The other is counseling. And so, again, the words up here are exploring with a licensed mental health professional the impacts of trauma, family of origin, and life transitions. And so there's so much more you could add on to that, so et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's not a limit to what you can work on with a counselor. But this is a very helpful place to work through some of those boxes, to talk with another person about things that might be kind of holding you up in relationships and just in life in general. And so with counseling, this could be emotional, this could be mental health type things going on. And again, this could just be a place where you're safe with another person that can help kind of work through these things. And the fruit of that is that you're more whole and more available to the other relationships in your life. So when your relationship with yourself is going well, when you're aware of how you feel about things, that's going to positively impact your relationships with other people, and it's going to allow you to more fully understand how much God loves you, right? Just like with all of these other things. So let's talk about the interpersonal, so family. I want to say here to family, again, another one of those words that is just different, right? So depending on whatever season of life you're in or whatever your life looks like, family can be defined very differently, and families come in all shapes and sizes and all of those things, right? So hear those and receive those. Family does not mean like husband and wife and children. Family means the people that you do close life with, that you are covenanted in life with, right? That is family. So for family rhythms, and then people have asked about these along the way, so we'll talk about them here. None of these things probably need long explanations. You can probably understand what they are saying. But prayer, right? So consider what your prayer life looks like with those people who you consider to be your family. Consider those things. Family also should consider quality time together, right? Again, this is where we are considering that recreation, that play, that joy, connecting to that playful side of who God is and reminding each other in those times. Meal times, right? So consider, what are your rhythms about meal times? How often do I sit down with the people that I consider family, right? And what do we talk about at our meal times? Are we intentional about examining our days together? Are we talking to each other? What are we doing in those moments? Or are we just kind of grabbing a plate and going, right? So think about those, because those can be rhythms that you might say, hey, once a week, we're going to have this kind of dinner that's going to be a little bit different. Maybe we're going to light a candle, and we're going to do some examine together and some prayer and some check-in, right? And then all the other nights we're just crazy and we're running around and we're doing whatever we're doing. But it's the place where you can set some rhythm to even that process and just be a little more intentional about it. And then lastly, marriage or dating, if you're in those seasons of life, this would be a place to consider putting some things in this box around whether it be date nights or times together, again, that recreation, are you going to vacation together, are you going to retreat together, what are the things you're going to do to nourish that particular relationship, right? So all relationships important, not like leveling up things, but if you're in that kind of a relationship, this is a place where you would put that kind of a rhythm in. And last but not least, let's look at community. So consider community. And in community, these are the two aspects that I want us to consider, our friendship and discipleship. And the question that I really want you to ask yourself as you're discerning friendship and discipleship is, am I creating space for friendship and discipleship? So as you're creating rhythms, part of creating rhythms around friendship and discipleship is just like, am I creating space in my life and in my schedule for friendship and discipleship, for those kinds of relationship? And then, I think this question is more important than the other one. What kinds of friends am I creating space for? What kinds of friends am I creating space for? And I think that's critical in considering our own rule of life is what kind of friendship, what kind of discipleship relationship is going to shape me and remind me of the love of God. And so consider the mutuality of your relationships, right? That's important. Where life is exchanged together, right? Where there's give and take. And then consider the basis for those relationships. Very important, because the differentiator, I would say, between friendship and discipleship is probably like what you're focusing on in your times together. And you can have friends, this can be the same people, but these could also be different people. And so I would say discipleship, probably you're more focusing on challenging each other around sin patterns, confessing sin to one another, more intentionally praying for one another, maybe having rhythms of prayer and scripture together, accountability, those kinds of words. Those would be things I would think about more in the discipleship category. And again, it can be the same. Like the people you're in a discipleship group with can be your friends. These don't have to be two separate groups of people. But I would say it's important that if you are in a discipleship relationship with someone, that you set some rhythms around when you're going to focus on those aspects of discipleship, right? And so having clear communication about that, like, hey, I want to hang out and have coffee just to check in on life versus, hey, can we get together and talk about this particular thing I'm going through or wrestling with? Or can we spend some time in prayer together weekly? Or can we do a book study or Bible study together weekly versus I want to go catch a movie together, right? So just be thinking about those things as you're considering those rhythms. Like, hey, who do I want to have regular check-ins with that I'm just sharing, like, hey, this is where I'm really excelling in my rhythms and this is where I'm really struggling, or holding each other accountable. And then who are those people that I just want to have fun with, right? I just want to have life and joy. And again, they can be the same people, but they might not be. There might be some people who that you're friends with that are not believers, right? And so you're not going to enter into a discipleship relationship with them unless they become a believer, right, through your interactions together. And that's okay. So just be thinking about those things. And so with these friends or even in discipleship groups, the same things from the slide before would apply, right? Like consider praying together, consider having fun together, and consider finding people that are going to provide space for you to walk through life together in the tension of joy and pain, right? That's kind of how I would boil it down. Like, who's going to walk with me in life and hold the tension with me of joy and pain? Who am I going to celebrate with and who am I going to weep with? Who am I going to, you know, have exciting, memorable times with, and who am I going to mourn with, but who am I just going to be with? And in the tension of these things, we all look forward to, and there are some seasons that are great, and then there are some seasons that are extremely difficult. And I would just really encourage you to set some rhythms and find some people that are going to do life on a journey with you. And then consider your presence with one another and your ability to point one another to Jesus. Like, how are you reminding each other? And how are you just sharing with each other the immense love that God has for you, right? Those would be the things that I would consider in my rhythms around friendship or discipleship. And so as we transition to our table time, I will give you one kind of anchor scripture. So I said there were 59, but there's one. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. This is one of my favorite verses. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. In some translations says souls. Because you become very dear to us. So what I would just ask you to do is consider how God has placed people in your life for relationship, for the sharing of souls, that we might know one another more fully, and that we might demonstrate God's love to one another more fully. And my prayer for you is that God would make this a desire in your heart. That if you're kind of like, yeah, friendship, take it or leave it, I'm kind of good by myself, that you would realize and that God would begin through the Holy Spirit to cultivate a heart in you like Paul's here that says, I want to share my whole soul with you. And that God would put those people in your life, and then you would establish rhythms around that. And I think that would allow us to live out well rhythms around relationships. And so let's transition to our table time, always our good times together. And these are the questions to consider. What are the ways I'm reminded of God's love for me in my relationships? What are the rhythms I keep around relationships? And what are the rhythms around relationships I will consider going forward? And again, so use this time around the table to encourage each other, maybe spark some creativity, maybe consider some new rhythms together.